Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CacheFly.com. CashFly.
This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte. Episode 29 for January 12th, 2008. Suzanne Cantra of Martha Stewart Living.
Jumping Monkeys is proudly brought to you by Audible.com for your free audiobook. Some great kids' books, too. Visit audible.com/monkeys. And by listeners like you. Thanks for your donations.
How long has it been?
How long?
Long time.
Too long.
Too long.
Yeah. You were away. I was away.
You went to Montana. I went to Egypt.
Yeah. They're very similar, Montana and Egypt.
A lot of sand, but no snow in Egypt.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot of snow in Bozeman.
Were there?
Yeah. Was we
there?
Skied. Annabella skied for the first time.
Oh, that's
exciting.
Neat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lots of, it made me know that I'd never want to live in a climate where there's snow. I mean, there's nothing more frustrating than getting three kids into snow gear.
Oh,
like I thought I was a pretty
That's
smart person, but like getting the little mittens on 2-year-olds, it drove me insane. It made me cry.
That's funny.
So it how was hard. Egypt?
Well, Abby also had a first. She got her first 23 marriage proposals.
Did she accept any of them?
No, thank goodness. Jennifer got picked up everywhere.
Wow.
Egyptian men like women.
Wow.
Well, most I think they see Western women as being kind of out there because most of the Egyptian women are hooded.
Mm.
So, but it was very interesting. You know, it was both wonderful. You know, you're seeing these pyramids and things. The pyramids are dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting a sense of how this amazing culture 4,000 years ago. But at the same time, we got a very good sense of modern Egypt, and it's a troubled nation.
Mm.
And so there was a lot of, I have a lot to think about.
Yeah.
And I've heard people say this when they came back from India, that it was, there's
lots of process.
Culture. Yeah. Jarring.
Yeah.
A lot of process.
But
so I'm
going
to write an essay on the blog about this. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a fantastic trip to take your kids on. I mean, so much more relevant than like going to, Europe or something.
Well, as
I mean,
it turned out,
yeah.
And this is the world's largest Islamic city, 16 million people, Cairo, and 90% Islamic. And so they got a good sense. We went to a bunch of mosques, they had a good sense of what Islam is. I think very important.
Mm-hmm.
Egyptians say we're not Arabs, but it's the Arab world. They speak Arabic. I thought that was, it was fascinating. And yes, I think the kids did get a lot out of it.
Yeah.
They certainly got a sense of the differences, the cultural differences. Huge.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're back. We're ready to do a show.
Yeah. And today we're going to talk to Suzanne Cantra. She is the Martha Stewart Living technology expert.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Does that mean she knits, tea cozies for your computer?
She's more serious than that.
I hope so.
She also was a writer for Popular Science for 15 years.
So she knows her stuff.
Yeah. And I have to say, she's the only guest so far that asked for our physical address in order to send a thank you note after the interview.
You're kidding.
No, yeah,
Martha
really
has trained her well.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's a geek with etiquette. A paper thank you note. That's going to be really exciting to get, I think.
Wow.
So, yeah, and we'll have our regular segments and,
We're waiting for her to call. Oh, there she is.
There she is.
Look at that. So let's get to our regular segments in a bit. Hello, Suzanne. Are you there?
I certainly am.
Well, look at that. It's amazing. Not only does she write paper thank you notes, but she's punctual.
I was just saying that you were the only guest you so far has asked for our address to write a paper thank you note. We really appreciate that you're a geek with etiquette.
Well, what more would you expect from a Martha Stewart person, right?
Exactly.
Were you like this before you started working for Martha Stewart, or is this something that she taught you were?
No, I mean, I was, but if you do become much more aware of those little niceties that just make things a little bit better, a little bit nicer, people appreciate it, so...
So everyone that's listening has already heard your bio. We introduced you already. And the way we do this is we just go right in. So
we're launched.
Yep.
We are recording.
So don't say anything you don't want, everyone in the world to hear.
Well, we're not that bad. We could edit it out. You still write for Pop Sci, yes?
I'm still affiliated with them, yes. It's been a little while since I've written an article, but I was with them for 16 years.
Long time.
So, yes, as a technology editor. So it's sort of a little bit in my blood still. I'm looking for those new products and technologies that are just on the cutting edge, might not be here. And then I remember, oh, but I need to make sure that the material that I'm talking about, that I'm covering in my day-to-day business, has to be stuff that is accessible, that is here and now, that can make a difference in people's lives today.
That's what we do.
Not down the line.
Yeah, we don't do flying cars on this show.
You don't, but wouldn't it be great if you could have a flying car and it actually was in your garage?
Yeah, it would, but I'm not going to hold my breath.
Does Martha Stewart have a flying car?
Now, no.
If
one became available.
She'd be the first to have a flying car on her. Is she techie? Is she into this stuff?
She's definitely techie. I mean, that's the whole reason why I even got a job, is because she was looking for somebody to bring more technology coverage into the various properties. So you probably mentioned I do the radio, I do TV for her, I do print. And so you're just trying to infuse the types of stories that you would do already with a little bit more technology and then introducing new concepts. So, for instance, we all want to stay in touch. You can do that with an email. You can do that with web chat, text chat, video chat. And so introducing those kinds of concepts to something that people are already doing, it's just with a little bit of a twist.
You call your show Living with Technology. It's about living.
Yes.
First.
Because we all live with technology.
Right.
For instance, it's not just about the high-tech new products. It's about using the web as a tool. If you're going to buy a new home or if you're putting your own home up on the market, there are so many tools out there that you can use to be able to get a better appreciation for what other homes are going for in your neighborhood, what the schools are like, what the community is like. There are all sorts of community resources.
Yeah, Zillow is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But there's even more than that, isn't there? Yeah.
So we wanted to talk to you about kids and technology, or kids and science.
Are you a parent, Suzanne? Hello? Did I say something offensive? Oh, I might have said something. Oh, I know what it is. She's hearing Martha Stewart in the background.
Oh, I am.
I apologize. You probably thought, how did Martha get in on this line?
She's here.
I was thinking, wow, that's really special the way you're able to sort of call her in that way.
I'm clicking links right now, and I didn't realize, I forgot that you were going to hear what I'm looking at you on Martha
Stewart's
watching show.
You.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Leo is the greatest multitasker
in the
world.
Yeah, I have ADD bad, and I have to have always four things going at once. So
no
do you problem. Have do you have kids, Suzanne?
I do. I have a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old.
Oh, boy.
So they're lots of fun. And lots of work.
Do you let them use a computer?
Absolutely. No question. It's a tool. I mean, I think that the way that we think about electricity is the way that our kids think about computing and the internet.
Yeah.
It's a resource that you turn on and it's there and it's just a conduit to something else.
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah.
I mean, there's just no question about it. My daughter loves Webkinz and getting on and Bellisera and all these virtual communities. She wants to decorate the room. She wants to buy the outfits. She wants every single pet that you can imagine because she likes playing with them online and sending gifts to her friends and family. And, you know, it's fun. And my son, of course, seeing her do it and seeing us working on the computer all the time, wants to be on the computer as well. So there's something out there for pretty much every age range at this point.
Yeah. So now your kids sound pretty tech savvy already. And I mean, most, you know, teenagers are pretty tech savvy. Does that necessarily make them more interested in science?
I don't think they think that they're interested in science, but if you take a step back and you look at the world, it's all about science. It's about the chemistry of baking and cooking. It is about the physics of sports and ballet and other things. It's about the biology of your pets and your own health. And I mean, how can you not be interested in science? There has to be something that's going to pique your interest. Maybe it's dinosaurs. Maybe you're interested in the stars and the planets. I mean, how could you not have something that's going to spark an interest? And it's up to the parent then to say, okay, I've seen a little flicker of interest in this area. Let's pursue it. Let's go to the museum. Let's get books. Let's go on the internet and ask questions. And so that's really where it comes down. down to not that you, they have, you know, contact with it. It's making the contact and then making something of that contact.
It's interesting. Sounds like you're a proponent for science education.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's so important. And when you look at the world today, what is very important is intellectual property. We want to make sure that we are coming up with really good ideas here in the United States, and we're not going to be dependent on somebody else in another country for these big breakthroughs. Now, of course, they're going to happen in other places, but they should be happening here as well, and we need to make sure that they, it does by fostering interest in science, by having competitions, and by just, you know, paying attention to your kids when they ask questions, because that's what science is about.
So what kind of are you talking about science fairs, or what kind of competitions are you talking about?
Well, science fairs are a great way to start. They are exist in many different school systems, but there are other types of competitions out there. I believe it's Intel that took over the Westinghouse competition, and that's for high school students. But I'm affiliated with another program that was put together by the National Science Teachers Association and Toshiba called the ExploraVision Awards. And this is open from kindergarten all the way through 12th grade. What it does is encourage kids to get together in teams. So this is not a solo competition. You have to have at least a partner, and you are supposed to envision a product or technology 20 years into the future. And so, as you were saying, science is everywhere. It's about solving problems. So these kids look at their lives or look at the world and say, how can I make the world a better place in 20 years? Now, the catch is it has to be based in reality. So unlike the flying car, well, I guess there are some bases of reality for the flying car eventually, but there has to be some kind of nugget of something that somebody's doing that they can then say, okay, in 20 years we'll have gotten that breakthrough or made some kind of material or whatever it is to make their idea a reality. And so once they've gone through that process, they have to do the last step, which is so important for scientists. What is the impact? Because you can think of these great ideas, and then, lo and behold, it has a huge impact on the environment, or it puts people out of work. And so by taking that kind of 360 approach, we're putting these kids in the role of being a scientist. So I think that that's a wonderful way to get kids interested in science and maybe hopefully get them to actually pursue it in the future.
I think that's so great. We talk about technology all the time, but we really don't often make that connection between science and technology.
Yes, that's true. And I think that there was sort of this, people have, you know, bad experiences with science, you know, probably at some point in their lives, you know, maybe they didn't like dissecting the frogs and getting frog guts on them, or maybe they thought memorizing the periodic table was so boring, but there is going to be something there. And, you know, again, you know, where would we be without science and without breakthroughs?
Yeah.
That's really great. And I think you're absolutely right that it's an entree for people who say, maybe I don't like science because they like their iPod. Well, there's a lot of science in there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Computer science.
Yeah. Well, and physics. I mean, the physics of how a hard drive works. And there's, you can go on and on and on. So
oh, no
I think
question.
That's really, I think that's a really a great point.
And who wouldn't want to be the next Bill Gates?
Yeah.
I mean, look at where he's gone
well,
and what he's done
he's
and how much money
now,
he's made. So. Well, but yes, but he's retiring to do other type of work.
He saved some money.
Right.
Put some away.
That's true. That's true. But I mean, you know, when you look at some of the past winners from the ExploraVision competition, it sort of gives you a window onto the fact that kids do not live in the same boxes that we do. We put all these expectations on ourselves and just sort of rule out so many things. Because we're adults and we've been told no too many times. But kids don't have that. And so, you know, a couple of my favorites are the atomic fire boots. They convert electrical energy into heat to keep your boots warm. So every time you take a step, it takes that energy of you taking the step into your boots. And so when you need the heat, it'll actually dispense it. And they did the math and it works. And somebody, hopefully someday, will actually come out with these boots.
So that came from the ExploraVision contest?
Yes, and this was the kindergarten through third grade group.
Oh, that's so neat.
So, you know, and you can see, you know, the kids came from Ontario, Canada. So this is open to Canada as well as the United States. And they obviously had, you know, suffered from cold toes on their way to school.
Yes.
And a lot of these kindergarten through third grade projects are about themselves. I mean, sure. Like another group came with a belt that would be able to detect if there are wild animals out there. So, you know, obviously they've been told by their parents, oh, you can't go outside because we don't know if there are any bears.
Right.
And, you know, so, hey, Mom, if I had this wild animal detector belt, I could go at any time. So it's fun to see how their minds work. Now, if you move up a little bit into the fourth through sixth grade, you get projects like taking the stink out of hog farming.
Oh.
You know, again, sort of within the community, but maybe not global.
Right.
And then, you know, you get on to other things. The seventh through ninth grade, they have this body clock band to overcome jet lag, let students stay up all night and study, but it won't, you can't get addicted to it because of the drugs that they would be coming up with, and it would be this great idea for everybody. So, you know, it's just interesting to see what they latch on to and say, this is a big problem, and how can I solve it?
How'd you get associated with this?
Well, when I was working for Popular Science, they pitched me on the idea of the competition for a story. And, you know, we like to cover these kinds of things where you're seeing kids involved in science. And then, you know, it just sort of went from there because I wanted to help them get the word out about the competition.
Great. That's really neat. It sounds like a wonderful event.
It is.
And is there a webpage?
Kids. Yes, there is. Explorervision.org.
Okay, great.
We'll and you can send notes. Email to explorervision@nsta.org as well if you want more details. So, and if you win, there are some great prizes, of course. First place, the teams, and they're in the four age ranges, they receive $10,000 savings bond each child. They go with their families and their team, their mentors and coaches to Washington, D.C. in June. They have this big, huge party there where they put on the little science showcase. And the second place teams go as well, and they win $5,000 savings bond.
Wow.
So
wow.
There's a little carrot there at the end of there, too.
I really like the idea that it works with the younger kids as well as the older kids, too. We got to get them started young, loving science.
Yes.
So how can kids,
absolutely no question.
How can kids get involved in the competition?
So they would go onto the website. There is a form that they would need to download, and then it's really text-based for this first process. They need to draw pictures and do their research and, you know, show where all that came from. And then there's a panel of scientists who evaluate it with real,
wow.
you know, rigor.
Wow.
And then they go on to the second phase from the regional competition, and then they pick the winners from there. In that next phase, they create a website, which can have audiovisual effects and that kind of thing to be able to further highlight what their product or technology can do.
Do people usually do it with their schools, or can you just do as, you know, can a parent get their kids involved as...
Well, there's sort of a combination. There are definitely schools, and having been involved with this competition for a while, that sort of keep on coming back.
Right.
It's actually part of their curriculum.
It should be.
But
yeah.
You also see winning entries that come from people who have done it on the weekend with a parent and maybe, you know, hooked up with a science teacher. And then there have been a number of homeschool kids who also do this as part of their curriculum.
Sure.
So, I mean, it can be anybody.
Were you a science student? Did you major in science yourself?
Soft science. I was a psychology major.
Oh, interesting.
So, but I actually did research. You know, we studied the effect of music on perception, so it wasn't, you know, totally soft.
Right.
But, you know, I've always admired people in the labs and being able to take what they're doing and make it accessible to other people. So then
right.
hopefully what they're doing can be appreciated by others.
Well, and I've felt for a while, this is a little controversial, but that there's been a kind of an assault on science in this country. And I think that it's great to see people not only promote science education and science awareness, but I think technology is a great, as I said, a great way to, you know, you may hate science, but you live surrounded by the results of scientific innovation.
No question. I mean, the next time you take an aspirin or a Tylenol, just remember somebody came up with that, you know,
exactly.
So. Or when you're suffering from the flu,
right.
I mean, you know, it is easy to sort of dismiss it, but, and also, you know, with the No Child Left Behind Act, there have been some funds that have been taken away from
right.
the sciences, you know, to do good, to make sure that we have the basics down, but we also really need to make sure that kids understand science and can appreciate it as they get older, because we need them. We really need these scientists out there.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to CES this year?
I did. I just got back.
And?
And it was good. You know, there really wasn't anything from a technology perspective that really just, you know, wow.
You must go like there looking to collect stuff, you know, right?
I do.
Yeah.
I look for ideas. I mean, obviously the 150-inch TV was
Always
quite
good.
Impressive.
Always good.
you know,
the problem is with that, you're not going to be able to get it on Martha's show because, for one problem, mm-hmm. is it takes a 747 to transport it.
Right.
An entire, and then the second problem is you're going to have to take the roof off the studio to get it in the studio.
I know. I mean, who's going to put that? I mean, it's going to be like a boardroom piece or something like that. But I mean, I like these little things that, you know, you're going to see a whole range of things. But I love the key fob that you can press a button and it will remember the location of your cars. So when you walk out into the mall and you see that sea of cars, it will point you in the right direction with its digital compass and tell you how many feet away your car is.
Now, that's useful.
Yeah, that's useful.
Yeah.
You know? How about a pair of goggles that has a digital camera built into it that you just press the shutter button? No more, you know, having that in your hand. It's on your face. So, I mean, I love these kinds of leaps where people take an idea and then take it that step forward.
Yeah.
Was there anything interesting directed at kids that you saw?
Well, you know, it's not as much of a kids toy tech show per se. You know, they were showing some, they had this sandbox summit where they were talking about the impact of the internet on children and talking about some, there's this huge push in terms of the virtual world, as I was saying before, Webkinz, Bellisera, Disney's getting into it with all of their various properties. And so there's a sense of, you know, kids are a great market and how do we reach them better?
But let's not abuse them either.
No.
You let your kids use Webkinz. You let your daughter use Webkinz.
Yeah, and I have to say, though, that I don't like the fact that she's getting advertising.
Yeah.
I mean, she's the one who told me about the body spray and the lip gloss.
See, I don't want
and the clothes. And, and that's a little creepy for me.
They just started doing that, and it makes me a little mad.
Yeah.
I'm not so happy about that.
Yeah.
You know, telling you about the new animal of the month, and, you know, it is about acquisition, and it does make you a little bit uncomfortable, but then again, you know, do you let your children watch TV with advertising?
Well, that's the thing. On the other hand, our kids are surrounded by advertising,
yeah,
and
right.
one of the things we have to do as parents is teach them about advertising.
Right.
We never let our kids watch much TV. We mm-hmm. but when they did watch, I would always say, "Now come on, let's talk about this ad. Does that look real? Is that going to really happen?"
Yeah, you're not going to keep
your
kids away from advertising.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Not entirely. And if you talk to some of the and I've gone to these seminars for preschool kids, and they say that the preschoolers, they believe what they see on television because their experience is seeing is believing.
Oh, boy.
And it is difficult to explain that, you know, there are visual effects and people can't really fly.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's the good and the bad.
Well, what do you let your kids do? What besides go online, do they have for instance, does your daughter have a GPS unit, cell phone?
She wants one. She does have a
6 years old. She wants a cell phone. She's six years
absolutely.
Old.
And she does.
And I don't know what she's going to do with it. I mean, I guess maybe she could call me.
Well, she sees you use it. So
all the time.
So she wants
one. The funniest thing is that I get phones in all the time, and some of them are activated and some of them aren't activated. And when they were really little, they always knew which phones had service and which ones didn't. And it wanted nothing to do with the old phone that didn't have service, even
smart.
If it was charged.
They're too
smart.
They
somehow knew that I didn't care about it, and so it wasn't important anymore.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting.
They're very sharp. And no iPod either, huh?
No, she has an iPod.
No, she has a music player. She does have a music player.
Yeah.
So, you know, and they have, Barbie has the new music players with the little skins, so you can go onto their world. I actually like the music players. The one thing that you need to be obviously very aware of is the volume level. And there was there's a campaign to make parents and educators more aware of the damage that can happen with these personal devices. I mean, if you think about kids want to get immersed in whatever it is they're doing, they turn the volume up too high and they can damage their hearing.
Yeah.
iPod, you probably talked about this before, does have that volume limiter that you can download onto their devices. But I think it's really important for people to know about it and actually use these things.
Yep.
But, I mean, I think that electronics toys, for instance, are a great way to have an interactive experience with your kids. I was just, Wild Planet's coming out with some toys for the holidays for next year, and they have one a similar version for older kids right now that uses those RFID chips to let you, you know, if you touch the toy, for instance, there's like this big cone in the center, and they have like a giraffe and an elephant and a lion, and the little cone in the center will say, touch the animal that roars. And so it's sort of taking some teaching and applying it to a game situation, and you know, or the cranium product, the Hullaboo product. You're not, as a parent, necessarily going to have the patience to be able to sit there hour after hour playing these things, and this gives a chance for something else to be able to step in there and do some of that teaching for you.
I love the Wild Planet stuff.
Yeah, they have great stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. How about your younger, your son, 3-year-old? He's really too little to be doing anything.
You know, he doesn't do much. I have to admit, we do have the DVD player for him in the back when we go on the long car ride.
did you have DVDs for the kids?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of,
I'm trying to convince everybody to do books on tape instead. Then we can all listen together.
Mm-hmm.
But
a 3-year-old, there's not many books that an adult's going to want to hear that a 3-year-old's going to. You can only hear Horton Hears a Who so many times before you want to just, you know, scream.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, what do you think of the backseat TV from Sirius? I mean, that's sort of an interesting concept with the parents having the music on the front. The kids get those streams from Disney and Nickelodeon and somebody else in the back, different zones.
We're all disconnected, though.
Yeah. That's true.
I don't like that so much.
Well, we used to play license plate when we used to drive from the Midwest up to Massachusetts.
Make them play those really boring car games like we had to.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm sure there's like an electronic version too that they can keep track.
Yeah.
100 bottles of beer on the wall.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Yeah. That was good enough for us. It should be good enough for them.
Yeah.
And we didn't wear seatbelts and we lay down on the back seat of our station
that's
wagon
true
too,
too,
right?
Yeah. But I have to say, I was recently on a trip with a lot of kids. It was a family trip, and a lot of the teenagers were listening to iPods, and they were completely disconnected, not only from the group, but from the other teenagers. I mean, they were in their own world, and it makes me kind of a little bit sad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's true.
You know, join the fun. Join the people. Socialize.
Yeah, and that is definitely a key point. My daughter, when she went to camp this summer, there was a strict no electronics policy for the entire camp. It's like when you got on that bus, everything turned off.
Yeah.
They were singing and playing games and everything.
Isn't that great?
And that really is the way it should be. I mean, there has to be a time when you have to turn off. Mm-hmm. As good as technology is at doing certain things, it isn't good at doing other things.
That's when we got rid of the TV the first time, was when Henry went to camp for 2 weeks. We figured, all right, withdrawal's already happened. He's not even going to notice. And it's true. He came back. He didn't even really notice. Mm.
That's true. Yeah. You just put something else in its place. You play family games. You do.
Yeah.
There's just something that you do. And I've weaned my kids off of TV pretty much.
Yeah, but now he knows about YouTube, so it's hopeless. He'll come home from school and he'll watch, you know, skateboard videos on YouTube for an hour. It's no different than TV.
No, not really. Except he has to work a little bit harder to get to them.
Not enough.
Yeah.
So do you put the parental controls on the computer then? Because that's something thinking about for later.
I did, and he yelled at me.
Right.
Actually,
wait a minute.
A little later on the show, I'm going to talk about a really great parental control I've discovered that's free and easy to use called OpenDNS. But, you know, both Vista now and Macintosh have pretty good parental controls built into the operating system. Mm-hmm. I turned on the Macintosh parental control that says you can only use a computer a certain number of hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And his account is always locked. It's always locked. He said, Dad, I can't use a computer. I said, well, you got 4 hours. How'd you use 4? So we have
skateboard
to
videos.
YouTube.
Easy.
Well, thank you so much, Suzanne, for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
A real pleasure talking to you. You can see, hear Suzanne on, is it Sirius or XM, your show?
It's Sirius, yes.
Sirius. And you can also see her on Martha Stewart and in the magazine as well?
Yes, in the magazine as well.
So you're keeping very busy.
Yeah,
I try. And Cold Pizza on ESPN2 every once in a while.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Suzanne.
Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's, you know, I love talking to somebody who, a lot of times I have to say they get tech experts on these shows who weren't really experts. She loves tech, but she loves science, and she was really using, I think, the tech to a good purpose. That was really nice to talk to her.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Really that competition sounds really interesting.
Doesn't that sound great?
Yeah.
Explora Vision, Explora, Vision, VISION.com. I'm sorry, .org. Mm-hmm. It's a nonprofit. And you got to hurry, though. The entries are due January 29th.
Oh.
So get to work on your invention. Your invention right now. So we're doing this a little upside down.
We are. Mm-hmm.
Because we wanted to get to Suzanne when she was available.
Yep.
Let's do our spend, save, give.
Okay, let's do it.
I love this first one.
This is emotional armor.
Abby should have had this in Egypt.
Yeah, well, you can still get it for her. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe not. Wouldn't have been appropriate for Egypt. But these are t-shirts. They were recommended by a listener, Mar. My favorite is the t-shirt that says, Princess Not in Need of Rescue.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one Abby would like, because she's tiny. Small body, big dreams.
Yeah, that would be
great.
Good.
Great. Let the world hear your voice. These are very positive messages.
They are, yeah.
Make lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one.
They have boys' t-shirts too, I think, don't they? Or is it just girls?
It could be a boy or a girl.
Right, the make lemonade, certainly, yeah.
And yeah, they have boys. Here's the boys. Fueled by determination.
Mm.
Ready or not, here I come. Expect the unexpected. Natural born hero. Or how about, Henry would like this one. Cowabunga. Darn, there goes gravity.
That's good, too.
These are good. I like them. They also have emotional armor tattoos.
Ooh, temporary tattoos.
Temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I don't even think they're on your skin. They're printed inside the shirt.
Oh, interesting.
And they're hidden there just for you.
Huh.
So you've got a little heart and a little peace symbol.
Oh.
Or you can have a little shield, a little peace symbol. Mm. I think that's a nice idea.
So that's emotionalarmor.com.
Oh, I love this.
Mm-hmm. And all these links, of course, will be in our show notes.
They have jewelry.
As usual. Ooh, jewelry.
Jewelry.
All right, you ready to move on to the save?
Save.
Now, this is a free play date for bloggers in New York City. This is just for our Manhattan listeners or anyone who's traveling to Manhattan who happens to be a mommy or daddy blogger.
Okay.
I'm sure if you're not really a blogger, you could probably go too. But this is the New York Kids Club. It's kind of like a Gymboree type place. Did you? You went to Gymboree.
Right?
You got like enrichment activities.
I hated Gymboree. They took all the well-known songs and they added Jimbo to them.
Yeah. Well, this is not Gymboree. This is New York Kids
Jimbo
Club.
Jimbo goes way up high. Jimbo goes way down low. Jimbo says hello to you. Hello. I can't believe I remember this.
Yeah.
Hello. Hello. Actually, I didn't hate Gymboree. It was fun.
Yeah.
But it was a little hokey.
Well, I don't know if they do these kinds of songs at the New York Kids Club.
I'm sure they don't.
But
they probably do rap numbers.
And they're not so much. I'm not sure if there's so much as mommy or daddy and me classes there. I think they're led by instructors. And the reason why I think that is because they say in their site that free Wi-Fi is available.
Oh, so parents, you go sit over there.
Yeah.
Drink your lattes. Surf the net.
Right.
We'll take it from here.
So, yeah. So the RSVP, if you want to attend, I think it's Saturday, the 18th maybe is the next one. It's nykcbloggerparty.smnr.us.
That's really cool.
So, you know, clearly they're inviting bloggers so they
and
can
I
write
like
about
this.
It.
I want to know more about this newyorkkidsclub.com. This sounds like a really neat place.
It does, yeah.
If you have a kid in a big city, you need stuff like this.
Yes. Yeah, you do.
Because you can't just let them run around in the fields.
Or, yeah.
As we do.
Or in the street, as we do.
And now give.
Give. Now, you and I interviewed John Buckman, who started Booklooch.
On Inside the Net?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk about it because we've never talked about it here. And also because he has a big charity section. Now, Booklooch is, you take your old books, you put them online in a database. Here are all these books that I want to get rid of. And each time you send a book to someone, you pay for shipping and everything, but you get a point. And then you can use those points to get books from other people. And you can get points other ways. You can get like 1/10 of a point by just putting your books up there.
It's kind of like a trading site, but not a direct trading site.
Right. So you're basically just paying for shipping.
Right.
But you also get points by giving books to charity also.
Oh, that's neat. See, we love books, but I think books should also be spread around.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, so you can use your points and give your points directly to certain charities, and they have a list at bookmooch.com charity.
So when they get, so there's libraries, there's prisons,
hospitals, children's
mothers.
Hospitals. Yeah.
So this way, those agencies can get books from Bookmooch.
Exactly.
Oh, that's neat.
So yeah. So John Buckman, also founder of Magnitude.
I love him. I think he's a really cool guy.
Yeah.
I hope Book Mooch is doing well. It's a great idea.
Yeah, it's Book Mooch, M-O-O-C-H .com.
My problem is I don't want to ever give my books away.
Mm.
Really, that's a bad thing. So let's move
on to our Audible book pick.
Speaking of books, yeah. You know, it's really interesting. You love books.
I love books.
I love books. Almost all the Twit folks love books. I think a lot of our listeners love books.
Mm-hmm.
You keep hearing about people don't read anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people do.
Yeah.
Smart people do.
Yeah, or they listen to books.
That's the thing. You could listen to books.
Yeah.
And you don't have to tire your eyes out. You could do other things like drive, work out. Putter around in the garden.
Right. You can do more. You can consume more books if you're both reading and listening.
What are you reading these days online?
What am I reading?
On the Audible stuff.
On the Audible? Persuasion, but that's not my book pick because I don't like it.
You don't like it?
Not really. It's for my book group.
You've read it before, though, right?
No, never read it.
Really?
Never read any Jane Austen.
Did you ever see that lousy movie, The Jane Austen Book Club?
No, I didn't see that.
Jennifer liked it.
No.
I'm thinking maybe it's just a chick flick.
I don't know. But yeah, so I've been listening to it, but I'm not recommending it.
No.
But what I am recommending that Annabella and I are listening to is Peter Pan.
Well, how could you not like? Is this the original Peter Pan?
Yeah.
It's not the Disney Peter Pan.
No. And it's like 9 hours, I think, or something.
Wow.
It's long. It's
four. No, it's 5 hours.
5 hours.
Oh, but you know who reads it? Jim Dale.
Yes.
Oh, he's the guy who does a great job of Harry Potter.
Yeah. Yeah. He's, it's great. And you know, she listens to it on her CD player and it took like 4 or 5 CDs or something like that. So, that was kind of frustrating. I didn't expect that, but that's my own fault.
Well, when you go to the, you know, if you first start getting audiobooks, you think, oh, I'll just go to the bookstore or the library. I'll get them.
Yeah.
On cassette or CD. And it's not convenient. And that's why I like Audible because it, you know, you download it. First of all, you get it the minute you want it, midnight, any time of the day.
Right.
It goes on your phone, your MP3 player, your any portable device or on your computer. And it's much easier. You don't have to juggle all the media.
Yeah.
It's just all there.
Yeah, I know. Annabella, she's due for an iPod, I think. And
if she's listening to CDs.
Yeah.
Hey, let's listen. I got to hear Jim Dale. Hold on a second. So this is, let's see, I'm going to press the button here.
While she looked at him imploringly,
That voice.
She wanted to risk it, come what might, but that was not his way. His way was with a pencil and a piece of paper.
He's making Peter Pan sound like Harry Potter.
Well, yeah, this is the beginning of it, before they get to Peter Pan.
He's on a TV show now called Pushing Daisies.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah, he's the narrator. I think that Harry Potter thing was good for him.
Yeah. So I recommend Peter Pan highly for kids of all ages and adults.
Now, the best way to get this would be go to audible.com/monkeys. And when you sign up there, you get a credit for a book. And you could apply that credit to this book. And that way, you would own this for free.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my recommendation. You'll find a lot of great stuff at Audible. 10 years now. They've transformed the face of audiobooks, I have to say. Nobody I know does it the old style way with the CDs or the cassettes. We're all doing Audible. Find out why. Audible.com/monkeys. And we are glad that they're around. Thanks to them, I was able to send you a little bit of a Christmas bonus.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Audible. Are you ready for our YouTube video of the week? Actually, it's just a video of the week because this is on the TED site, not on the YouTube site.
You know, I subscribed to TED is the conference, the tech.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I subscribed to the TED conference stuff on iTunes.
Oh.
So they made a podcast out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Great lectures.
Yeah. Have you heard of this lecture by Jeever Tully?
I haven't.
It's 5 dangerous things you should let your children do.
5 dangerous things.
Yes.
Should we hear some of them?
Yeah. If you just play it from the beginning, there's going to be like a whole introduction and everything.
I
like to queue up to 2:54.
I don't think I can.
Oh, you can't.
Well, let's see. You can. 2:54. Is that where we should start?
Some simple things.
So who is Jeever Tully?
He is the founder of the Tinkering School.
You're kidding. There's a school called the Tinkering
it
School?
It is. And they get like power tools inside
play
the hands
with fire.
Of kids. You want to listen?
Learning to control one of the most elemental forces in nature is a pivotal moment in any child's personal history. Whether we remember it or not, It's the first time we really get control of one of these mysterious things. These mysteries are only revealed to those who get the opportunity to play with it.
I love playing with fire.
Playing with fire.
And my father kicked my behind.
This is like one of the great things
my kids love fire
we ever discovered, fire.
But it's dangerous.
From playing with it, they learn some basic principles about fire, about intake.
So what else does he say you should do? I'm not sure we should be espousing
this. It's like the first universal tool.
What he says is these dangerous things can...
Oh, good. Knives? Okay, so this guy says you should let your six-year-old...
In a controlled environment. What he says is that...
Brain, they tend to...
What we've said before is that safety measures have gone too far.
Yeah,
and kids are going to do those dangerous things anyway, no matter what we do.
So if
you can do it in a controlled environment, then you can...
And say, here's a Bowie knife. Now let's try Mumbly Peg.
Not exactly that, but it's easy. You know, it helps them be more creative and confident, and in control.
Danger is, especially with boys, and some girls, is a part of growing up.
Mm-hmm.
They need to test themselves against dangerous situations, mm-hmm. and if they can't, then sometimes they do stuff. Not when you're not around, that's even worse.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I'm thinking of older kids. Now.
Yeah, I'm not. Older. Yeah, and then that's what he's talking about sometimes too. I mean, and I'm not saying like let your kids play with fire. Watch the video; it's interesting. Then choose to
it's
do these things.
Provoking.
Like anything we talk about, choose to do these things with your children or not. It's up to you. You're
we're
the parent.
Just here to provoke your thought.
Yes,
that's all we're doing.
So yeah, it's pretty interesting. I got it sent by a few different people. So
the TED stuff is well worth it. And by the way. It's, I don't remember what it was, but like $7,000 to go to a TED conference is hugely expensive.
Free online to watch
it. Just watch it.
Yep.
Who needs to go?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to sit next to Al Gore. That's nice. But you can watch it on the show. And I'm glad they're doing that.
Yeah.
Frankly, it probably undermines their business model.
Right.
Oh, well,
now
this
we've
has been
reached
a great day.
It has
should
been
we
a great
do a little
day.
Listener feedback?
We should.
Yes.
Do you want to want me to read a mail?
And... Read some mail, and I'll go to our voicemail. And
okay.
See if there's anything.
Okay. We
anything
probably
there.
Should maybe.
We're running
review
long.
Them. We are. Well, no, we had an extra interview in there, didn't we?
Don't say that.
That interview we're not airing.
The one
kidding.
That you're not going to hear until next week.
Okay. This is an email from Paul Siopic. Who you know and
very well.
We've spoken about
he's
him
from Toronto.
Yeah, so we spoke about him before. He has twins and an older boy, and his wife passed away from cancer. And he sent me an email recently that I asked if I could share it, and he said that I could. He
neat.
Was recently interviewing for new jobs, and during one of his interviews, the owner, I'll just read this. During my interview with the owner, Bruno, he asked me how I keep up with technology, and I mentioned podcasting. We got to talking about the Twit Network, and I asked him what his favorite show was. He said, and I agree, that although he's a hardcore geek, that being a father is the most important job that he has, and that he and his wife love the Jumping Monkeys podcast the best. Then Bruno stated, especially the Father's Day episode, they talked about some poor guy whose wife had passed away from cancer.
Oh, dear.
And he had to deal with not only being a full-time dad, but telling his kids that that their mother had died.
Yeah, that was so sad.
And Paul says, my response was a laugh, which he understood when I explained, that was about
that
me
was
and my
me.
So isn't that funny that
he got the job?
Yeah, he got the job.
I think we should take credit.
And I just think, I know, like, I'm not a hardcore geek, but I know that a lot of our listeners are hardcore geeks, and we mm-hmm. don't necessarily get hardcore
we don't
on
go
here.
Geek on this show.
But I think that that's interesting because I do feel like a lot of people feel like their most important job is, being
it
a
is.
Mother or a father.
It is, no matter what you do.
So, yeah.
There is no more important job. You're holding the future in your hands
mm-hmm.
or your arms. All right, let's listen to this will be fun without any preview or, warning.
Just like radio.
Just like radio. We're just going to put this person on the air and see what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Megan and Leo. This is Greg in Tulsa. Just had a question. I'm wanting to make sure or do the best I can as a parent to not raise a kid who thinks Christmas is all about getting. So what kind of
good question,
good mm-hmm. fun family things could we do to kind of focus Christmas on giving a little bit better and fight the consumerism mentality? All right. Hey, just want to know some good ideas that you guys have done, or maybe some other listeners. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Too bad we didn't play this before Christmas.
Yeah.
I wasn't here. We didn't do a Christmas episode.
Yeah.
But this is for Christmas next year.
Yeah. Or you just...
You talked about one that I think is great, is Kiva.org.
Yeah, yeah. Giving... in an upcoming show, I'm going to have another recommendation about... instead of giving gifts, you can give charity gift cards,
right.
So that, you know, it's the person gets to choose the charity that they instead of like a Borders gift card, you get like a, you know, from this organization.
So there's a third party and then they'll donate it
right.
to whoever.
Yeah. So we'll talk about
that
in the show.
And Kiva's, of course, that micro lending, which mm-hmm. is really, really doing wonders in the developing world.
Yeah. And I mean, this is a hard one. I know since Christmas is already, you know, it's a whole year away. What do you do?
We leave town.
That's good.
We've done that 2 years in a row.
And you don't do gifts?
Well, you can't. If you're going to, last year we went to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, look, we're not going to pack a bunch of gifts. We'll get some nice stuff down there. We didn't have a tree. We were with family, and that mm-hmm. was it made the emphasis being on family.
Mm-hmm.
We gave some small gifts. The kids hated it.
Yeah.
They said, where's our big gifts? But it, you know, they got over that so that worked. And of course this year, before we went to Egypt, we went to mom's, my mom's in Rhode Island
mm-hmm.
and spent time with that family. And again, they didn't get big gifts this year. They didn't complain.
Yeah.
So I think that now, of course, they're older.
Right.
They're 13 and 15.
Yeah.
So, but that's kind of the ages when they start to really say, oh, gimme, gimme, gimme.
Yeah.
And so they're learning that Christmas is about family. It's about togetherness. It's about other things than, you know, presents.
Yeah. And I think, I know that's also a problem with birthday parties that drives me crazy.
Oh, it's gotten bad.
You know, how many gifts you get. And so we've just stopped doing.
And then there's the goodie bag.
Yeah. We've stopped doing that for parties. Like for parties, their last birthday, which we did all three, we had people bring a book, like a used book or,
I like
you know,
that.
And then they, you know, it was an
exchange. We did a book exchange.
Right. Yeah. And then you get to take home a book instead of a goodie bag. And that worked really well. And I mean, Annabella none of the kids have asked, like, well, where were my presents
right.
and where were the goodie bags?
See, if you start when they're young, they're never going to have the expectation.
Right.
On the other hand, there's something so wonderful to have the bicycle under the tree or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And have them get up and get it. That's very exciting.
I just think limiting it. Is, you know, just there's so, I mean, one or two gifts, like that's all
yeah.
that we do.
There
I mean,
you go.
Because especially if you think about like grandparents and everybody else.
No, it's out of control.
It is totally out of control.
Spent 4 hours Christmas morning opening presents.
Yeah. So I don't know if anybody else has any suggestions.
Love to hear them.
Yeah. You can call us.
And it doesn't have to be just Christmas. It could be birthdays.
Yeah.
Too. Our number, it's not toll free, but it doesn't cost much. So come on. 707-981-4602. That's the Grand Central answering machine. 707-981-4602.
I have one more email that I have to read.
Yes.
Because this is just one of several that I got about the Veggie Tales.
I mocked the Veggie Tales.
Did you get email about the
No, I didn't. But yeah, I mocked them because I saw the trailer in the movie theater. Mm-hmm. It looked like the stupidest thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
Because it's vegetables.
Right.
And then I also was a little insulted. I knew it wasn't aimed at my age group. It's aimed at 4-year-olds. But
yeah.
I was a little insulted. Because there was like a Mexican character. It was a little, I thought, racist.
Yeah, just sort of cliche.
Yeah,
too.
Cliche, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so I got several emails from diehard Veggie Tales fans. So I thought I'd read one. This is from Rob Steele from Germany. He says the series is actually pretty good. It's basically some Bible stories acted out with CG vegetables.
Bible stories? They had pirates in this movie.
Yeah, I think it's... Yeah.
I don't remember pirates in the Bible.
I think that...
Maybe they've expanded beyond the Bible stories.
Yeah. He says, it's just as bizarre as I made it out to sound. And Rob says, I'm not a religious person, but the basic moral part, be kind to your neighbors.
That's good.
Don't give up. Don't pick on people because they're different.
Yep.
Are really universal and not necessarily religious. So he says that there are a lot of characters with strong accents. He says the peas speak with a French accent to pay tribute to Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he and Rob says, I'm going to recommend Dave and the Giant Pickle. It's their version.
I remember the Giant Pickle in the Bible as well. I thought that was a very... What? Giant
it's
Pickle?
It's their version of David and Goliath.
Oh, Goliath's a giant pickle.
Yes, David and the Giant Pickle.
Oh, it would have to be because they're vegetables.
Right.
So it's not even Dave. It's like the rutabaga and the giant pickle.
Yeah. Pickles are so good. They should be fruits, don't you think?
Yeah, they should be. Especially sweet pickles.
Should we try another voicemail?
Do you like sweet pickles?
I do like sweet pickles. I like all pickles. Especially
do you like dill
giant pickles?
Pickles.
I like dill pickles, yeah.
Really? because I don't like dill as much as the sweet pickles. This one goes on for 3 minutes.
Okay, maybe we should just read another email and be done with it.
Okay, clearly they dialed the number by accident.
Someone
or a preschooler mashed the number pad.
Yeah.
And somehow they got 707-981-4602. I should have known when I saw it was exactly 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah. That's as long.
They have children. Maybe what happened is he dialed the number about to leave us a message, and then something came up.
Yeah. Or he dialed it and hung up because he was nervous, and then his kid pressed redial.
Oh, that could be. Another email?
Okay, yeah. This is from Sherry Boyle in Denver.
Hello, Sherry.
My husband discovered your podcast first and tried for weeks to get me to listen to it.
I wonder how he tried. Would he slip it under the pillow at night?
Well, she says what finally worked was that he started playing the episode where you were talking about music at the dinner table from her laptop, which was nearby.
Oh,
and
geez,
she said
that's annoying.
She had to go back and listen a second time so she could really enjoy it. But she's now downloading our show on a regular basis.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So. We grow on people.
We do.
But if you didn't know us before, you'd say, who are these people?
Yeah.
But after you get to know us, we're not so bad, really.
No, we're excellent.
Pretty nice people.
Yeah. All right. That's all. That's all we got, I think.
Oh, but it was
show.
Such a good show. It was really nice to talk to Suzanne. And
yeah.
Just, it excites me to hear somebody so excited about science education. I'm a big believer in that. And mm-hmm. I think it's so important. It's how we're going to go forward.
Exactly.
If you love technology, if you love, you know, the world we live in today, and if you want it to continue to innovate and be excited, we've got a lot of problems we need to solve,
mm-hmm.
and technology can help. Science can help. So you need to learn science. It's rigorous thinking. If nothing else, it's using your noggin.
Exactly.
So thank you, Suzanne, for reminding me about that, because I'd forgotten. I had completely forgotten. We will be back next week. In fact, mm-hmm. we're not going to miss any more for a while.
No, and I think next week will be our show, perhaps, that we recorded live at Macworld.
Oh, that's very exciting.
Yeah, we're going to be recording our show next week, right?
I should tell people, if you're going to Macworld Expo in San Francisco, we will be in the West Hall,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to be doing the podcast studio. That's what you should look for.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be recording on Wednesday at 2 p.m. I'm sorry, 4 p.m. That darn Alex Lindsay, he uses military time. What does he think he is? At 1600 hours in the West Hall, the Macworld podcast studio.
Yeah.
So it's free. As long as you've got a hall pass, it's free to come see. We'd love to meet you. If you listen to Jumping Monkeys, please come by and say hi.
Yeah, we're going to be talking to Gene from SmileOnMyMac.com. And we're going to be talking to some people from Apple and then some dads from Apple and Google. So,
wow,
yeah.
You lined up a bunch of guests.
I haven't done it. My friend Jean-Paul from Apple did it for me.
Thank you, Jean-Paul. Does he talk like a bee?
I don't know. We're going to find out.
We'll find out. And we will see you next week. I hope we'll see you live at Macworld Expo. If not, we'll see you on a Saturday afternoon for Jumping Monkeys.
Bye.